How would you like make some like high value friends? How would you go about doing that? Maybe in like New York? I know there's like clubs and stuff, but it's like really hectic in there and there's like a lot of area limit.
So the actual how to is less exciting than that. It's literally just become high value guy yourself, become the kind of person that that person would want to be friends with. Right. So different people want different things. So, you know, for example, in my network, I have, you know, a guy that does $250 million in sales in his business. I have the number one male porn star in the world. I have just really cool guys in different cities around the world that, you know, throw parties. And I have access to one of my group chats is called the Alpha Circle. And like, I have access to really cool people through that. So I have access to all these people because different people want different things. So if I spent a decade of my life, you know, hyper-focusing on how to get good with girls, then someone else who spent a decade of their life focusing on sales, he and I could like, you know, collaborate, share information. And we're part of like, you know, you can just tell like when a guy has kind of made it, right? There's certain signs. You know, success leaves clues, as they say. So that's one thing. Cultivate yourself into the guy that other people want to be around. It's also a mindset. Are you the most successful high status guys I know? They're focused on growth, contribution, fun experiences. So are you focused on growth? Are you focused on contribution? Are you focused on good experiences? Are you focused on leveling up, getting better every single day? Because that mentality is infectious, and people, even very high level people, if they're around a guy that, you know, has those qualities and is super fun and positive, they love that, right? So people talk about like, here's the networking secret, but really it's like, be a cool person that makes sense for other people to either do business with or to associate with. And then everything else, all the little nitty gritty things fall into place.
Right? But still, I feel like there has to be like a hack. Cause like at the highest levels, like they people at the highest levels, they also have people like really low down as friends. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And those people are either, you know, with them for a very long time and they're loyal friends and they give good value, or they're the person that they can hang out with. Like I have one of my close friends here is he's just really good at Ultimate Frisbee, and he's really cool and he's really normal. And so, yeah, I hang out with him. He's nowhere near my level of like business or game or any of that. Right. He's just. And I associate with him for that reason. He's like a cool, normal dude that plays Ultimate, right? So you have different friends for different reasons, like just like you like hanging out with them. So, yeah, it depends what – and the thing is, why do you want those high-status people?
Like, I mean, like they give you access to, like, things you can't have. Like, let's say you make a friend with, like, a yacht. You know, you get access to the yacht.
So why do you want access to the yacht?
I mean, like, so then you can bring girls to the yacht.
Okay. Do you think it's easy to bring girls to a yacht?
I mean, I think so. Yeah. Maybe.
So this is one thing that people understand. It's actually way harder to bring girls to a yacht than it is to bring girls to like a coffee date, which sounds counterintuitive, but the thing is, it's like a bigger thing in a girl's mind. It's like, oh, a yacht, like I don't know if I'm ready for that. And then also creates safety concerns. Is it, where's the yacht going out? Am I gonna be with friends? Who's a part of it? Is there a group? What's the group dynamic like? Dude, it's intense. The people I know that are good at bringing a lot of girls on yachts are people that have groups of girls, like promoters, that they already all the girls already know each other, and then they bring them on the boats and stuff. Like it's not as easy or as good as you think it would be. And also, if you're just hanging out with girls on a yacht, it's kind of just like a private party. Like, there's no reason why you couldn't orchestrate a private party somewhere in New York. So, yeah. Honestly, dude, I have a boat club I belong to, and I can take a boat out anytime I want. And I do it like once every 2 months because it's just not that cool. It's like, you're on a boat. You're just there. I don't know. And then there's like waves and I don't know. It's not that interesting. And also for first dates, I can't even do it for a first date because girls are like scared. There's like, remember, as a girl, your biggest thing is you think that men are going to fucking kill you. So like you have to make girls feel comfortable. And the way you do that is by getting to know them over time. So they observe your behavioral cues and they can trust you in more like situations like that. So boat's a good thing to have for like a second date or a third date, but not for a first date. So it's like, then you're like meeting tons of girls to invite them onto a yacht. And then you have to like, how often do you have access to the yacht? And then you have to rely on the other guy. And then you have to like, it's not good. You want to basically get a system that you can use to have sex with a lot of girls. And then from there, you can do whatever you actually want. Because if you're like, I want high status guys to get boat to get girl, you can just cut out the middlemen and just get the girl. Like, it's not that complicated. In fact, it's a lot easier.
You mean like take her out to the coffee shop, then park, then your house, go through the circle?
Yeah, or dinner, or drinks, or yeah, there's bowling. Like, yeah, yeah, I'm a reverse salesman. I made boats sound stupid, which I don't know. They are kind of the boat's kind of overrated. Would you say?
I just get seasick, bro.
He just gets seasick.
But I mean, you can't deny like having high value friends has its benefits. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, but the most important thing is that you have, and what do you define as high value? That's another thing. Because status depends upon what your values are. In some groups, becoming super, super jacked is high status. In other groups, they're like, that's fucking lame. Why would you waste time doing that? Like, it's like try hard. In some groups, having a Lamborghini is seen as high status. In other groups, that's like the gayest shit ever. It's like, why wouldn't you use that money to help people? Why wouldn't you use that money on your business? Why wouldn't you use that money to like live a more adventurous, fun life where you can travel? So,
yeah.
I know I didn't answer your question, but I gave you a different perspective.
I just well, feel I like, did, I like money kind of gives you access to more parts of life. You know what I mean? Like
what if you got better social skills and then you could get access to those things naturally. And also that is like one gripe I have with like the whole social circle stuff. It's like they set up this reality as though everyone cares about the same things. Whereas like, they're describing reality where like 5 to 6% of people think is cool, which is like, I get access to this bikini competition with these 37-year-old single mothers compete for bikinis. It's like, who cares? I don't know. It's not exciting to me. Like how old are you? You're probably pretty young, right? Like 21,
24.
Okay. So yeah, if you haven't had many of these experiences, you're probably looking at it like, oh, it's past this like huge gate that I have to get access to. It's like you can just get access to those girls. So I don't know. And also by learning game, what you do is you generate a skill set that a lot of those guys with the boats wish they had. Because last time I went on a yacht, I brought girls onto this yacht and the dude that owned the yacht was fucking lame, dude. He just sat there kind of like in a like a weird vibe, just kind of like weirded out the girls, bro. And I was like, hey, we're playing this fun game that I made, like this Jenga game with the stuff written on it. We're doing like what's it called? It was like truth or dare Jenga, and everyone was laughing, having a good time. Like girls are doing squats for like some of the things, and like, you know, I'm like bending a girl over for like demonstrating my favorite sex position, like just random crazy stuff, having fun, laughing. And I'm like, come play the game with us. Oh no, I'm fine. Like, those people wish they were you. So why would I want to be that?
But then they also have the things you wish you had.
Why don't you just develop the skill set to generate that yourself?
Right. But then there's like levels to that. Like you can't guarantee to have $1 billion. It's
why do you need $1 billion, dude?
Because like there's a lot of cool things that come with like a lot of excess money you can spend.
Yeah. Well, first of all, you're not going to become a billionaire because it's just it's not likely. And also, once you have you ever had a year where you made like $100,000?
No.
Yeah. So once you reach that point, you'll realize that like, oh, it's like more money doesn't automatically mean more happy. Like it does incrementally actually to a certain point. So like, there's a
book. Like I could hire Taylor Swift if I have like a bunch of money and like Taylor Swift or like.
How much more marginal happiness does watching Taylor Swift in a private concert give you over watching?
A lot, bro. What do you mean?
So you need to read this book called Happy Money. And this is based on the science of how money impacts happiness. There are diminishing returns. Yeah, someone said this. Social skills is better than a yacht. Yeah. You don't want to be the lame old dude in a Ferrari. Like, it's the literal word. Because what it is a total miscalculation of what women are attracted to and what makes a good life. Like, a good life is – money is part of a good life, but it's not the – be all end all of a good life. In fact, let's break it down like this. Attraction for women. How much money do you need to have so that women get aroused around you and want to fuck you? Like what's the
probably threshold? Not a lot.
You need zero money. I got laid more when I was broke than I do now. Because the number one determinant of how much sex you're having is, are you proactively trying to have sex with people and your social skills, right? So there's a, if you want to look up a video on this, it's I actually talked to this guy. His name's Joseph Slaney. He was a homeless guy in New York City that would sleep with girls and like shower at their places. And he'd crash for a couple of days and then boom, back on the streets homeless. And so he had $0. Meanwhile, you take the richest people in the world and they have wives or girlfriends that are cheating on them or hooking up with guys like me behind that guy's back. So one of the girls in LA that I was sleeping with, her family, her father, I would ask like, so what's your dad do? And she's like, oh, he runs several high profile companies. And they're like, yeah, I just got back from Africa. I'm like, why? She's like, my family is opening up orphanages there to help like the youth. Like this is the level of wealth that her family was at. I don't know if her dad was a billionaire or near it or whatever, but she was hooking up with me. And I didn't have a bed in my house. I slept on the floor. I have photos for all of this. I'm going to put out a video about this soon. But this, it's like, so for attraction, it's not necessary. Now, for retention of a long-term partner, it is necessary because they want to make sure that you're going to be able to provide for their kids, right? So that's where it does come in. Do you, obviously, by the time you're 35, you know, you should have some income so that you can dedicate to having a life with women, right? And some women, they may just prefer guys that are in of the mindset of ambition, right? Ambitiousness is attractive in and of itself, but you don't need money to be ambitious, right? I'm going to just mute because the background's kind of like sounds like a vortex is sucking. Okay. So, yeah, so that's for attraction. And then for lifestyle happiness, that what they found is that this stat was from like 2013, I think, but it's like $80,000 your happiness peaks, because the marginal happiness that you gain from going from not having a car and needing a car to having a car is much bigger than that to the second car, to the third car, et cetera. In fact, there's a book, you want to write down another one, it's called Richestan. And it's about these really rich people. And what they find is that the more stuff that they have and the more rich their life is, the more stressful it is and the shittier it is. This dude, he's like, if something goes wrong in my house, I can't even fix it. I have to talk to my housekeeper, who will talk to my, like, my house manager talks to my other guy and coordinates it, and then they have to do it. Like, I can't do anything. And he's like, I got this boat. Now there's all these expenses. Then I have to go in for this license thing. And then it's just like, there's all this other like headaches that come with it. So ideally what you want is freedom. And that comes down to lowering your expenses and also increase your income. So like, if your expenses are $10,000 a year and you make $100,000 a year, that means that every year you live, you get 9 bonus years from it where you don't have to work. Right. If you're assuming the same level of spending. So that's part of it. I don't know if you wanted to, do you have some other things you wanted to say?
Yeah. How about like a private jet? Like there has to be benefits of getting more girls at the private jet.
Oh my God, dude. Your brain, let me explain this. Your brain has been molded by Instagram to think that these things are important when they are not important at all. And do you know, I have messages from that guy. His name's like Credit on Instagram or something. He does the silliest, gayest messages for girls. So he'll literally, his strategy is, he goes on a seeking arrangement and he goes, hey, I'm flying out to this place for a concert with backstage VIP passes. Do you want to come with me and my other 4 girls? And then she goes with him. But what does it say when you interpret yourself as so low value that you have to have a private jet and a backstage concert to attract these girls to be around you? Also, keep in mind, what are the type of girls that are going to be hanging out with you? Are they going to genuinely like you for you? Or are they going to like you because you have access to certain things? And that's one of the big crux of it all is like, if you want the way to find the best girls in life is to be yourself in terms of like, you've already gone through the game transformation process. You're a cool guy. You know how to meet girls. You know how to fuck. And you can project that energy and women connect to it. That's how you find women that truly love and respect you. And then you reward them. That's a much better way of going about it than giving all the rewards up front saying, I have no value, please. This is the way I attract you is with material possessions because I don't understand evolutionary psychology. Versus I attract you with who I am, my behavioral cues. And then on top of that, I also have access to a cool life. I also, like, if we want to have children at a certain point, I've got that handled. And, you know, I'm not a billionaire. I don't have access to fucking Dan Bilzerian's house so that I can look like a cool kid on the internet to people who I don't hang out with. Yeah. And this is another thing. You know what Dunbar's number is?
No.
Okay. So Dunbar's number is 150 people. Your brain basically is wired to understand how 150 people interact. So it's actually 150 times 150. So the interactions between these people and that. So you need to be more hyper local. Think about the girls that are around you. Think about the friends that are around you. Think about your family and care about them. Don't care about the perception of random people that I won't meet or don't know about think about me. What I found, and also those are the people who are going to support you no matter what happens, is the people that are going to support you no matter what happens. So here's an example. I got canceled in Colombia. Every single person who knew me wrote me, dude, we know this is such bullshit. What the fuck? This is so stupid. I can't even believe what I'm reading. Like, dude, what is this? Everyone that doesn't know me, oh my God, it's true. He's the person of, like, you know, it's that old quote. It's like, those that mind don't matter and those that matter don't mind. Right. So focus on the people around you that love and care for you, and focus on making actual genuine connections with girls, because that's how you're going to have fulfilling relationships. And the people that win at life are the people that have the most fulfilling relationships, not the people that get access. Hey, one time when I was 29, I got access to a bikini party. Hey, one time when I was 31, I was at backstage. No one gives a single fuck all that matters in life is forming strong connections with people that you care about and the experiences that you have with them. I don't know. That's my take. Is money important? Yes, to a certain extent, but there's diminishing returns. I'll even say it. Game is great to a certain point, but there's diminishing returns. When the added benefit of having a threesome over having a twosome is not that big, right? And then when you go from threesome to foursome, it felt like nothing. It felt like there wasn't that much of a benefit at all, you know? So it's cool to like have these certain aspirations, but I will tell you that they're very lame. Like once you're there, like I'm telling you this because I thought the same things. Dude, it would be so awesome to have access to a yacht, get access to it. I'm like, that was so much work for nothing. Like that was not that cool. Like it would be cooler to just like, it would have been cooler to just hang out like with one of these girls, like by myself. You know, what was actually cooler than going on the yacht was hanging out with the two girls and my friend afterward and just getting food. Like we went and got food and then we listened to like a live music and just walked around the area. That was cooler. So yeah, Dunbar's number. Don't focus on like what these hyper niche celebrity, who cares?
One more thing. How would you go about like, I feel like college is like a good opportunity to like socialize and like make new friends. What would be the best way to like take advantage of that to the most?
Take advantage of what?
Like your college experience and having people there that are like close to your age and you know.
Yeah, I would if I could do college again, I'll just tell you what I would do because I'm not like a college optimization expert, but I will say what I would have done differently if I was in college for all 4 years. I did some things that I thought were good. I joined groups that were around my interests and I made friends through that. And I was in sports and I started making friends through that. So I would just have continued those friendships and then organized like cool little trips for us. So like, you know, I'd take like two or three of my friends and we just go like backpacking, you know, to the Adirondacks or something cool in New York. Or go to, dude, when the fall leaves change, like bring a girl out or bring a guy, like a couple of friends or whatever, and go to what's that park? There's a park in Maine. I forget the name of it, but there's some national park in Maine on the coast that's really cool. You know, I would do like cool backpacking stuff. I know New York is basically a series of rooms. It's just like you're either in a room or you're like in this dystopian nightmare outside. But yeah, I would do cool trips somewhere.
So just like try and connect with people through groups and then, but how about like, is there any way to like just make friends without being in a group or something like that?
Of course. Yeah. You just bump into someone, you start conversations, just be friendly, like have a friendly vibe. And like, you just see someone, you're like, hey man, what's going on? I haven't met you yet. What's your name? Boom. One thing I think that Jack Demo talks about that's really good. And I lived with Jack Demo for like 3 months in Miami and I saw him do this all the time. He just talks to everyone, right? He's at the jacuzzi, just hangs out. Hey, what's up, man? How's it going? And it starts conversations, right? If you just start a lot of conversations, you're going to bump into people that, you know, connect with you.
Yeah, that's funny. I thought Jack Denver was somewhere in Canada and you were in Miami. Apparently you guys are like together. That's funny.
Yeah, 2021, he was in Miami.
That's funny. So yeah, just kind of like.
Cool, man. You made this live stream go over by an hour. It doesn't matter, dude. I don't care. I guess a lot of people liked my rant too. I got some W's.
Logic. Yeah, so basically
what's your final counter argument about money? More money equals more happy.
I mean, yeah, it makes sense kind of that, like, you know, I know that like people at the high levels, they have a lot of fake people around them and it's just, you don't want that. It's just disgusting. But at the same time, it is nice to have money, but then it's worse to have people that you don't like around you.
Yeah. I will say the number one thing that money can buy you is freedom. Like ability to travel, ability to live where you want, options and choices and what you want to do. But like what I think the concept you don't get is that the marginal happiness of going from flying a commercial flight to a private jet is like not as substantial as not being able to fly to flying.
You know, there's like actual thing where you could catch two New Year's if you have a private jet and you fly to like the other side of the world.
Yeah, that's cool.
So, I mean, that's a benefit, right?
So this is there. This what you're doing is this is called the some benefit fallacy. It's like there is some benefit to doing almost anything. There's some benefit to spending 10 hours on Twitter every day. However, there are massive costs. So it's always the cost benefit that you have to look at, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to full debate mode. No, give me a counter argument, Daniel.
I mean, you didn't answer that one. Like, how about like Drake? Like, you get Drake to perform at your birthday. That's a lot of cool shit.
Okay. I'll just pretend that having Drake perform at your birthday somehow completes you. Yes. Okay. You win. No, it's not a very strong argument because what would be cooler than so do you have a bunch of close friends in Brooklyn right now?
So, kinda.
Okay. So having a great network of really close friends and girls that you can see would provide you with more happiness than seeing Drake perform.
Yeah, true.
Okay.
But how about like Drake and friends?
Okay, sure. Sure. Okay, you win on that. Drake and friends. Yeah, so this was a stat. I think it depends on the city that you're in. It also depends inflation. So I think it's like probably like 110K now or something, or 120. So like, yeah, optimize your life, optimize your career. Like anyone here listening can make 10K a month as long as you pursue your career and you actually continue to work on it for like 5 years. So once you're at that point, it's like it diminishes after that. Yeah. Okay, cool. We'll end the chat there. I would like to tell you guys, you know what? I'll just say it. Go to my course, gametransformation.com. Because probably by the time put the banner at the bottom, probably by the time that most of you watch this, Kajabi will have fixed their issues and you can access the course. From what I understand right now, there's like tens of thousands of courses that are down. So I can't really do anything about it, but by the time you're watching this, it should be available. So click the link in the description, gametransformation.com. Daniel is our top coach throughout the entire course. What do you study?
Computer science.
Okay.
Yeah, programming. But I want to get into like machine learning and like AI.
Nice. Yeah, smart.
Yeah, so I've been doing that on the side and like kind of using the computer science stuff to contribute to that.
Cool. All right. I want you to promise me two things, Daniel.
Yes.
Number one, you're going to improve your game. And number two, you're going to lift weights. Can you promise me these two things?
Am I that skinny, bro? Yeah, probably, right? Yeah, I promise. I promise. I was actually going to get into working out like really soon.
Okay, so I want you to take that very soon, and I want you to make it today. So start today. Because what happens when you say very soon or tomorrow or next week is on a meta level, you just continually push it further and further and further. Versus if you say the time for change is now, it's going to, when tomorrow comes, you're not going to push it further. It's going to be now again. And then the next day comes and it's now. Try to hit like you know, a pretty decent period of just not breaking the chain 5 days a week.
All right.
You committed. Now you got to stay consistent. You committed, and this is on a live stream, so everyone knows this. So we're going to call you out.
All right. Hey, I'll post updates. So follow me on Instagram. Daniel, B-U-R-E-N-K-O.
There we go. Cool. All right, man. Good talking to you. All right. Later, guys.
Later.